No matter what the sport, where it's played, or the teams behind it. We've got it. This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, Devonport, Launceston, Bridgewater and Smithton. Your local Massey Ferguson dealer.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Water Boys for another Super Saturday of sport. Brent Costello with you and Cam Brown's in the house this morning. How are you, Brownie?
I'm really well this morning, Brent. Looking forward to the next couple of hours. We've got a big show lined up, haven't we?
We do indeed. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's have a look at the overnight scores. And gee whiz, things are heating up in the NBL. The final round of the season. Jack Jumpers are in action tonight. If they win that, Brownie, we finish in fourth, guaranteed a home final and the all-important double chance as well. But the Perth Wildcats did us a favour last night with that because they lost to the Cairns Taipans, a game they had to win. They went down by 13 points, 84-71, and Adelaide kept its finals hopes alive as well with a big win over the Sydney Kings, 115-108. So we'll talk about that a little bit more and the finals breakdown later in the show. But what about the A-League last night, Cam?
That's a big win for Adelaide, Brent.
Huge.
Sydney, yeah, one match in the A-League last night. Brent, it was an upset, it's got to be said. Melbourne Victory currently last on the A-League ladder. 3 defeated Wellington Phoenix 1.
Yeah, big upset there in the A-League. We'll get to all those scores a bit later in the show. But as you said, Brownie, a big show ahead. We've got some big names on this morning. None bigger than Josh Maget, who is our on-court general for the Jack Jumpers. We preview tonight's clash against the Illawarra Hawks with Jet later in the show. Bit of footy on the agenda too. Footy season not too far away. Big week for the Glenorchy Football Club. Will they have a team in the TSL this year? The new president of the club, Tim Woodham, will join us later in the show. As will Hawthorn Footy Club defender Jack Scrimshaw. The Hawks, of course, signing a new deal here in Tasmania during the week. A bit of cricket on the show as well with Nicola Carey. Big couple of games coming up for the Tasmanian Tigers in the WNCL. South Hobart Soccer Club got a big game today as well as their preparations for the preseason continue. Their coach, Ken Morton, will join us. And also, the big Ironman 70.3 is on in Hobart this weekend, and Iron Woman Grace Theck will join us to preview all that. The week that was, though, is coming up next here on the Water Boys. Hope you can stick with us over the next couple of hours here. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer. It's the Water Boys, Brent Costello and Cam Brown.
Reflecting on sport from the past 7 days, here's the Water Boys, week it was.
Plenty going on locally, nationally and internationally, but let's start at home, Brownie, with some sad news that came out during the week that we've lost a Tasmanian football legend in John Devine, who had an unbelievable career, it's fair to say, not just in football, but obviously in politics as well, and he was a well-known publican right across Hobart, so a really tough week for the Devine family.
Yeah, not too many bigger names I wouldn't have thought in Tasmanian football than John Devine, so yeah, really sad to hear about his passing during the week, and the tributes, Brent, weren't they like they were huge, weren't they, in the commentary, and much loved and much respected John Devine. As you mentioned, we know his football career and what happened at Geelong, and then he came down and won 3 premierships with North Hobart as a coach, playing coach in, and then was, even you go back to his career at Geelong, a premiership player there, vice-captain. And then he just made a massive impact and career outside football as well, as you mentioned, drifted into politics and also as a publican. So the funeral today, Brent.
I'll be heading along.
So I would have thought there'll be a huge turnout, and a great tribute. I would have thought to John Devine, a great man.
No doubt about it. He was best on ground in the goalpost game too, the 1967 state final, kick 5, I think, and just another tale to his extraordinary life.
Well, I read where one of the Geelong players, of course, John came down and missed the grand final because he came down to Hobart, so he missed the VFL grand final that Geelong played in. It might have been against Richmond. I stand to be corrected, but the particular player said, "Look, if John Devine was in that team that day, he's got no doubt Geelong would have won the flag."
Yeah, right. There you go. And then, of course, missed the first part of North Hobart season when he came down because he was still suspended. Yeah,
that's
so.
Right.
And he got hit too, I think, the day of the 67 bushfires as well. And he remembers going to North Hobart Oval and all the fire trucks were there, etc. So, yeah, just a man with a lot of stories, obviously, and he will be missed. There's no doubt about that. Let's go to some footy news. Taron Thomas in the headlines for all the wrong reasons this week, Brownie, and we won't dive too much into what he's going through, but let's talk about more the football side of things. Do you think he'll be there around one? I mean, he's taking a break from North Melbourne as we speak.
That's a really great question, isn't it? Because originally the statement from North Melbourne was they were going to deal with it internally. Then some new news came to light during the week. And then as a result, they've I guess, stood him down, for want of a better word, and he's taken some time away from the game. So he'll obviously have to try and get himself right. Yeah, physically and mentally, I would have thought, over that period. So he's in the best possible place to play footy, and sometimes that can take some time, Brent. So we'd only be guessing there. But having said that, there is probably 6 or 7 weeks before the first game. But then all of a sudden, you could be behind from a physical point of view, fitness point of view. So it may not be easy for him to get back in around one. And part of it might be that they really want him to stump up and play some BFL footy first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Darcy Moore, captain of Collingwood Football Club.
Happy with that?
Yeah, I would have thought so. Yeah, I think if Jeremy Howe, the Tasmanian, if he had maybe been 3 or 4 years younger, I think the job potentially could have been his, to be honest.
Yep.
But we know he's going to be one of the people supporting Darcy Moore. We love stories, don't we, and family connections, Brent, and the fact that Darcy is going to be Captain Collingwood, but his father, Captain Collingwood, around that 1981-82 period.
Yep.
Some great synergy and family connection there.
Absolutely. Speaking of Collingwood, they're coming to Tassie to play, which is exciting, because any time Collingwood comes to town, it's albeit a pre-season game, and we'll speak to Jack Scrimshaw about that game a little bit later in the show, but fantastic that they're coming down, and no doubt a big crowd will be there at UTAS Stadium early next month. And Collingwood's netball team was in town this week too, Brownie, against the Queensland Firebirds, playing a couple of games in Launceston at the Silverdome, and one was played behind closed doors yesterday. So the Firebirds, I think they slipped in Friday's match and lost that one, but they won the game on Thursday night. So that was good to have some top-level netball again, albeit a pre-season game, but great to have Suncorp Super Netball back in Tasmania. What do you make of the Hawthorn deal this week? Interesting one for me. We know North Melbourne re-signed for 3 years at the end of last year, but this is the leverage Peter Gutwin used to get us into the spot we are right now, to get us our own team. So I know this is all contingent on Tassie getting an AFL licence, this deal going ahead, but was that a surprise for you that we felt the need to re-sign him for that long period?
How many did you say it was?
So they got three, this year, and they've got two more after this year.
Maybe not. I suppose Hawthorn would certainly want
absolutely
to still continue. It's a lucrative deal for them. Obviously, the AFL are probably wanting to try and get some continuity of AFL content down here in Tasmania over this uncertain period.
Mm.
But having said that, the sceptic would look a lot, well, we've come nowhere. We've gone back to the drawing board again, where we were 2 or 3 years ago. We're saying, well, if we don't get an AFL team, we're not going to have North Melbourne and Hawthorn content. But it's just contingent on this stadium, isn't it?
It is,
and because of that, because we've got a lack of clarity and when that may or may not happen, in the interim, to me, it's a bit of a stopgap solution until, let's hope we get that AFL team, then a VFL team comes in, and eventually this Hawthorn North Melbourne would be staged out of the state.
Well, that's the other angle to this. So they think Hawthorn might still play in Tasmania if we get our own team, which would be really interesting because, you could have 7 games in Hobart and then the Tassie team plays 4 in Launceston, and Hawthorn could still play 3 or 4 in Launceston, and you'd still have the same mix of games in Hobart and Launceston, same amount of games, I should say. So that's one to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not sure whether that's a conflicted, confused model for
might
AFL
be a
down
bit
here.
Might
but we'll
be a
wait
bit
and see.
And $65 million going into UTAS Stadium 2 for stage one of a development there, which would increase capacity by 1,000, etc. A few other little things going with that too, and I hope to do a few more stages as it goes on. Daniel Harford sacked as Carlton AFLW coach during the week camp. They're not mucking around there, the Blues.
Yeah, and one of the prominent people in their organisation off the field too was also given his marching orders, for want of a better word. So, yeah, they're looking at a restructure, Carlton, and they've slipped after a couple of years in the AFLW where they performed really strongly. And Daniel Harford came out, didn't he, and said that they're a fair way behind about what it takes to be an AFLW full-time environment and club. So reading between the lines there, it may have been best for all parties to pass, to eventually move away from the relationship.
Wanted to give a quick shout out to Russell Young, who is
the
president
of the
SFL. Done a great job, Russ. He's stepping down from the role early next month, but he guided the competition through COVID and all sorts of different things, Russ, and he's done a tremendous job. So well done to you. Also to the family of Wally Budgeon, to a stalwart of local hockey and really instrumental here in Tasmania. He's passed away as well, Branny, so it would be remiss of us not to mention the great Wally Budgeon on the show this morning. Graham Arnold was re-signed during the week.
Graham Arnold, Brent.
Why?
I just think he's stoic. I admire his determination. He's a staunch Australian and promoter of Australian football and did a wonderful job for Australia at the World Cup, our best ever performance in terms of we won two games. I like the fact that he's going to be working with the junior coaches as well, and something he's really passionate about. Australian football doesn't have a base, which is amazing.
Mm.
You know, and I'm talking about something like an AIS or hockey's got obviously a prominent centre in Western Australia. So that's one of his key drivers, obviously, over this period of time in his next tenure, which will take us through to the next World Cup.
Mm.
So terrific appointment. You think where he was not that long ago when it looked like potentially Australia wasn't going to make the World Cup and prominent Australian people, soccer media were calling for his head. It's a stunning turnaround.
Brownie, before we wind up the week that was, can you win the Australian Open with a 3-centimetre hamstring gash? Apparently you can.
You're saying it was a hoax, were you?
Well, I don't know. Like, well done to Novak on a great win, but, I mean, he's 30-something, and to have a 3-centimetre hamstring gash, you got question marks around that, if that's right?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah. he obliterated a lot of people along the way, though, didn't he, with his tennis. And won, how many is that now, Australian Opens?
10.
10 Australian Opens, which is stunning. And we know Nadal's had an unbelievable record at the French. But you would think the way Djokovic is going, he's got 3 or 4 more Grand Slams.
Yeah.
I've got to be careful when I talk about Grand Slams, Brent, and male tennis players in particular, because of Roger Federer. But I think, he's going to push it and put it beyond reach,
Absolutely.
Would have thought, for anyone coming through.
That is the week that was for this week. We've got lots to come on the show this morning. A lot of footy in hour two. Jack Scrimshaw from Hawthorn and new Glenorchy Football Club president Tim Wooden will join us. Also, Josh Maget from the Jack Jumpers ahead of the game against the Illawarra Hawks tonight. Later this hour, we've got Nicola Carey from the Tasmanian Tigers and South Hobart Football Club coach Ken Morton. But up next, we're talking Ironman 70.3 with Iron Woman Grace Theck here on the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer. It is the Water Boys, Brent Costello and Cam Brown on this Saturday morning, February 4th, 2023. Can you believe it? February already. And we've got a massive event here in Tasmania tomorrow. In Hobart in particular, it is the Ironman 70.3. First time it's been held here in Tasmania. And one person that will be out there tomorrow is Ironwoman Grace Theck, who's been good enough to join us on the Water Boys this morning. G'day, Grace. How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for jumping on. How exciting is this? As I say, first time this event's come to Tasmania. Are you familiar with Tasmania? We know you're from Melbourne, but have you raced here before?
I've actually raced here once before in my early days, probably when I was about 15 years old, and that was in Tassie, in Hobart. But other than that, I haven't spent a whole lot of time here, so it's really exciting to race here in the first ever 70.3 Tassie race. Really pumped about it.
Fantastic stuff. Now, for those that don't know what Ironman 70.3 is, just give us a little bit of a rundown of what people can expect tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's a long-distance triathlon. It includes a 1.9-kilometre swim and then a 90-kilometre bike ride and then a 21.1-kilometre run.
And Grace, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you actually got involved in the sport? Because you know you've obviously dabbled in triathlons for a long time, but, transitioning into something like the Ironwoman?
Yeah, of course. So I come from a running background. I started running from a very early age, and I did do a couple of triathlons in my teenage years, but I focused predominantly on my running, and so I went over to college on a running scholarship. I got quite injured over there, so when I finished up my degree, I decided to take up triathlon. So I've kind of been back in the sport since about 2015, I haven't looked back. It's a really exciting sport. It's three sports in one, so there's always something to work on and improve on, and that's kind of my story from running to triathlon.
And Grace, we're always interested in the preparation for athletes and the amount of training and cross-training that they have to do to prepare for a sport. Can you give our listeners a bit of an idea in terms of, your focus from a week to week and how many hours you are putting in to preparing for a race like this?
Yeah, so it depends on the kind of week, whether it's a big week or whether you're tapering, which is kind of reducing your load into a race, or if you're recovering from a race. But I would say during the main training blocks, I would probably do 20 hours of training. Broken down into probably about 5 swims, 4 bike rides, and 3 or 4 runs.
And Grace, it's been a big week or two for you on a personal front. Did I read recently that you actually got married and you've actually had to put the honeymoon on hold just to come down for the race. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. I got married last Friday, so I've brought my now husband to Hobart. He's never been here before, so I'm hoping to show him a good time, and I think we're heading to Salamanca Market this morning to check it all out. But, yeah, a little bit of a unique preparation and kind of treating it as a little bit of a honeymoon here. But I guess, as my husband would say, our whole life's somewhat of a honeymoon anyway. So we've got lots of travel planned this year, and so I guess, the whole year we're going to treat it as a honeymoon.
Yeah, fantastic stuff, Grace. Congratulations from all of us here at the Water Boys. Now, you are the second-seeded female pro, so who's your competition tomorrow? Who's the person that's ranked number one? Tell us a bit about her.
So ranked number one for the race is Ellie Salthouse. I've raced her quite a few times. She's a Queensland-based athlete. And, yeah, it'll be a good battle out on course. There's a few other pros as well who are going to be competitive as well, so... you never know what's going to happen on the day, so my aim is to go out there, do my best, and hopefully come out on top. But if not, I'm in good competition and good company.
And you mentioned the course before as well. It's going to be a really picturesque course. Do you get out today? Do you drive the course so you know what to expect tomorrow? Is it all a surprise, I suppose, once you hit the track?
Yeah, I've had a little look. There's some YouTube videos of a guy doing the entire course. So I've had a look at that. I might go out today and drive part of it, maybe even ride the first couple of K of it. But, it's going to be a great race. And in triathlons, usually they're pretty flat, the bike course, but this one's actually got 1,100 metres of elevation, so that will be quite a challenge, and I think that will play to my strength because I like a hilly bike ride. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the course. Obviously, it's going to be picturesque, but I think it's also going to be a challenge.
Well, Grace Thick, it's great to have you here in Tassie. Welcome again, and we wish you all the very best tomorrow. It's going to be fantastic to see the city come to life with this Ironman and Ironwoman races, and we thank you for joining us on the Water Boys this morning. All the best.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Good on you, Grace. There she goes, Grace Thick, joining us here this morning. And check your local road closures as well. There's plenty of them tomorrow. Brownie, I can't leave my house
it's
for about
though,
6 hours. Yeah, I can't wait to get out and have a look at it. It's going to be awesome. So, really good event for the state, and the partnership was extended too during the week. So it is here to stay for at least the next 5 years, I think it was. So a great event to have here in Tasmania. Plenty more still to come this hour on the Water Boys. Not too far away is Nicola Carey, the Tasmanian Tigers all-rounder. But up next, we are talking soccer, the round ball game with South Hobart Football Club coach Ken Morton here on the Water Boys, right across Tasmania. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer. It is the Water Boys, Brent Costello and Cam Brown for your Saturday.
Here's the Water Boys World Game Wash-Up.
Plenty happening in local soccer ahead of the NPL season, which isn't too far away. And South Hobart continues its pre-season build-up today. They host Pascoe Vale FC up at Darcy Street. And joining us on the line to preview the big clash is the coach of South Hobart, the great Ken Morton. Welcome back to the Water Boys. Kenny, how are you?
I'm very well, Brent. Thank you very much.
Great to hear your voice, mates. And here we go again. We're bracing for another big season. How many years is this for you at South Hobart, please?
Quite a few.
You lost count.
I think around 13, 14.
Wow.
In that vicinity. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And you still love it as much as ever, though, don't you?
I think more so. You know, I think it keeps me young, and I love being around the players and the football club. So, yeah, let's keep going while we can.
Yeah, fantastic, mate. Now, Pascoe Vale is obviously a powerhouse club from over there in Victoria, and it's a relationship you've had for a while with that particular club, isn't it?
Yeah, it was built way back in, around 2018, 2017, something like that. And Lou Toner, the president, has become a very close friend of our family and our football club. So it's with great pleasure that, we have them back at Darcy Street again, where they love to come and play.
What do you try to do as a coach in this game? Is it more about you guys and doing things ahead of the season proper and testing different things out, or is it trying to get a big scalp in Pascoe Vale, I suppose, and winning the game?
I think that's important to try and get a win against the mainland team. But more so than that, just having the ability to control the game and dominate possession more than you would against these interstate teams. So that would be one of our major aims. we have recruited quite well in the off season as well. So getting game time into the players and getting continuity between the players is important as well.
Ken, it's Cam here. You touched on the recruitment side of things in the off season. Can you bring us up to speed about some of the player changes to your roster this year?
I can. Good to hear from you, Cam. We've signed Nick O'Connell, a goalkeeper from Brisbane Roar, who was with us before he went to Roar, so that was a massive pickup for us. So with Nick and Jake, we have two very young keepers who are both excellent. So that is brilliant. We have Ewan Sloan, who's come on board from Olympia, fullback. And we've lost a couple of defenders. Luke Biggin went to Melbourne Juventus, and also Loic Ferral, kind of semi-retired at the moment. They've had a baby, and I think Loic's going to return to France. So those are good recruitments. We've recruited a lad called Jaden Fidre from Spain, who looks exciting on the wing. He won't play today, but he looks an exciting prospect as well. So while we've lost Josh Diven to Western United, the incoming players look as though they're going to fit in with the group as well.
And obviously Pascoe Vale today, we've got the Summer Cup coming up. Brent mentioned the NPL season not too far away. In the off-season, do you spend a lot of time obviously analysing how the team went? And we know South Hobart traditionally always up the top of the NPL season ladder. And certainly I would have thought high ambitions to win the premiership again this year. What have you sort of focused on the off-season in terms of tinkering the game plan, Ken?
Well, you know, you look at where you think you can get stronger, and I think defensively we want to be a little bit tighter, a little bit more compact off the ball. But then in possession, I like to see dynamics up front where one-on-one we're going past people. So we have been looking at, you know, driving at people in the front third to get in behind. Goals win football matches, Cam. So we want to try and play exciting football because that's what the crowds love as well. And that will be the major aim, is to try and play a little bit more over the flanks.
Have you heard much about what's happening elsewhere around the competition, Kenny? What's happening up at Devonport? They're going to be the team to beat again, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. You know, while they keep that back line intact with Mulroney leading them, they're not going to give much away. And I believe the centre forward, the Spanish lad, stayed. And they have recruited other visa players as well, so they'll be strong. But I think the dark horse is maybe Lawnie City. They brought in some exciting players locally, and I believe they've got two or three visa players arriving pretty soon as well, along with Clarence Zebras. So most teams have recruited well and would appear to be a lot stronger on paper. Let's see what they're like on the pitch. That's what it's all about.
Now, before we let you go, mate, I got an email yesterday and it reads, Football Australia has formally commenced its process to create a national second-tier men's competition currently earmarked to commence in March 2024. This is something you guys at South Hobart have been passionate about for a while. Tell us a bit about that, and you're going to try and enter yourselves in that competition potentially?
Without a doubt. We will put forward our expression of interest. I'm 100% certain the club are behind that move as well. So we will do that and see what the outcomes are.
Fantastic. How exciting would that be too? It would be absolutely magnificent. I know it's been in the works for some time, so great to see there's some progress being made. Kenny Morton, great to have you on the program this morning. And for those at a loose end today and you want to see some top-quality football, head to Darcy Street, 2 o'clock kickoff, South Hobart and Pascoe Vale. Big pre-season game ahead of the NPL season, which isn't too far away. Great to have you on the show, Ken Morton, and good luck today.
Thank you very much.
Kenny Morton, what a superstar he is of Tasmanian soccer. We love him here on the Water Boys, and big season ahead for his South Hobart side. We've got plenty more still to come this morning on the Water Boys. In hour two, Jack Scrimshaw from Hawthorn will join us, as will the new president of the Glenorchy Footy Club, Tim Woodham, Josh Maget as well from the Tasmania Jack Jumpers. But up next, we're talking cricket with Nicola Carey from the Tasmanian Tigers here on the Water Boys, right across Tasmania. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer. It is the Water Boys with Brent Costello and Cam Brown this morning.
It's the Waterboys Cricket Report.
Really big few days coming up for the Tasmanian Tigers WNCL side from Monday. Two big games coming up against South Australia, and one player that will be out there for the Tigers is our star all-rounder, Nick Carey, who's been good enough to join us on the Waterboys this morning. How are you, Nicola?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for jumping on. It is a big couple of games, isn't it, as far as the ladder goes? And this South Australian side you'll be coming up against is a pretty good one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They've been running pretty hot this season. I think, well, they're right up there at the top of the table. So, yeah, look, it's going to be a big couple of games for us, getting to the pointy end of the season. So, yeah, to have these couple of games at home against a good quality side is going to be exciting and a good challenge for us.
And it must take you back to some nice memories too of last year. Actually, you weren't playing last year in the final, were you, from memory?
No, I missed that one, but I was watching it on the live stream. So, no, I'm sure the girls are, yeah, got some fond memories of that. But, new season, and we haven't played them this year, so I don't know, they might look a little bit different than they did last year, and I'm sure they're coming with some, you know, different plans and whatnot, so it'll still be a good challenge for us.
One player that's in some hot form for them is our own Courtney Webb, unfortunately. Tasmania's own Courtney Webb, 100 against New South Wales the other day. She's one we have to watch on in the next couple of days.
Yeah, she is a dangerous player, particularly with the bat. She sort of can take a game away from you. They had some really good games their last couple of games, and she was a big part of that. And they chased down a couple of big scores. So I think a few of their batters are in some good nick, and coming to Blunton, it's usually a pretty nice batting wicket. So we're going to have to come prepared with some plans to hopefully nullify their top order.
It's been a big season already, Nicola, for you and the team. How would you assess your own performances this year?
I think it's been all right. I've sort of been in and out of the group a little bit, but I've sort of come back in now. And, I think we've played some really good cricket in patches. I think we've had different people stand up at different times, which is really nice. You sort of want to see, different people contributing. And, we never rely on just one person to get the job done. So I think it's been a pretty solid season so far. We've dropped a couple of games and, not ideal, but that's okay. We've still got four games, and if we win those, I think we're a real good chance of making the finals and maybe potentially hosting if things are our way as well. So, I think it's been really solid so far, and, we've just got to keep going for this back end.
And Nicola, what about the move from Tasmania into the Hurricanes from New South Wales and Sydney Thunder, respectively? Looking from the outside, it looks like you've really embraced the team and Tasmania in general. Has it been a really positive move for you on and off the field?
Yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed my time since moving down here. I think it's my fourth season now. So, I consider Hobart home now. So I've loved my time here. It's been great in both the sides, and the girls have been fantastic. We've had a lot of players move down to Tasmania over the last couple of years, and we embrace everyone that comes down, and it's such a good group, and staff and everyone at CT has been fantastic, and I bloody love it down here.
That's good to hear. We'll take you too. We're happy to have you on board as an honorary Tasmanian, absolutely. Hey, Nick Carey is our guest on the Waterboys this morning. Nick, you mentioned being in and out of the side with Australian commitments, unfortunately not picked for the World Cup in the squad. How tough was that for you to take that news?
Oh, look, yeah, it was disappointing, obviously, to sort of not make that side. But at the same time, it sort of means I get to come home and get a bit of game time here. So, yeah, look, disappointing. But, spent a lot of time on the road this year. So a part of me is sort of looking forward to being in Tasmania and being at home and spending some time here and, actually getting out on the park and playing some cricket. I really enjoy playing WNCL and playing for Tasmania. So I'm actually pretty excited for this back end of the year, to be honest.
Absolutely. Well said. And just finally, obviously, we've got Jude Coleman on board now as the new Tasmanian Tigers coach. How different has that been with Sow taking a back seat and taking the high-performance role? How have you found Jude so far?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed the time that I've spent with Jude so far. We've obviously had a fair bit of change in our coaching staff this season, which has been an interesting one. But Jude's come in and at a pretty probably an awkward time for a new coach to come in, and I think it's been a really seamless transition, to be honest. The girls have taken to her really well, and I think she's done a fantastic job so far. We're coming up against her old team this week. It was coming week. So, I think she's done a fantastic job and led the team really well.
Will that help, do you think? She got some insights she can share with you, a few weaknesses potentially of that Scorpions lineup?
Oh, yeah, she definitely had some things to add in our preview of the SA side. So, yeah, obviously she sort of worked a lot with them, so knows their players pretty well. But I guess we've played so much cricket against them as well, you know, whether it be in previous WNCLs or Big Bash, you sort of start to know players pretty well yourself. So, yeah, she probably knew a few more things. But, yeah, it's been great having her. She's been awesome.
Fantastic. Nick, well, great to have you on board this morning, and all the best for those two games against South Australia next week. A couple of wins would really set us up, as you said, for a potential home final, so plenty to play for. Thanks so much for joining us on The Water Boys, and good luck.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Nick Carey joining us on The Water Boys, a star, of course, with the Tasmanian Tigers WNCL side. That brings us to a close for the first hour of the show this morning, but stick around. We've got plenty coming up after news, sport and weather. Josh Majette will join us to preview the big game tonight, the Jack Jumpers and the Illawarra Hawks. We'll also talk plenty of football as well with Hawthorn Footy Club defender Jack Scrimshaw, and new Glenorchy Footy Club president Tim Woodham will also preview the BBL final. Look at the Aussies playing over in India and even preview some racing as well. That's all to come in hour two of Extra Time here at the Water Boys. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Ah, yes, Extra Time of the Water Boys. Hour number two coming your way. Before we get stuck into it, though, what happened in the A-League last night, Brownie?
One match last night. Melbourne Victory 3 defeated Wellington Phoenix 1. Fair to say that's an upset. Melbourne Victory, they've had a really disappointing year and currently rooted to the bottom of the A-League ladder. And the Phoenix were well entrenched inside the top six, Brownie.
Yeah, that's a huge result for Melbourne Victory, isn't it? NBL last night. Perth Wildcats season's teetering on a knife's edge. They lost to Cairns at home by 13 points, Cairns 84, Perth 71. Cairns without Keanu Pinder as well in that game. So that's a huge win for the Taipans. They could finish second on the ladder, depending on other results this weekend. And a big win too for the Adelaide 36ers, keeping their finals hopes alive. 115 to Sydney, 108. We know Sydney didn't suit up Xavier Cook. So obviously best player in the comp didn't play there for the Kings, and they can't move out of first spot at the moment, Brownie. So they've obviously taken their foot off the gas a little bit for this final round of the season. But the Jack Jumpers, big game tonight, and looking forward to talking to Josh Majette a little bit later in the show to preview the clash against the Illawarra Hawks. Plenty of footy this hour as well. Glenorchy Football Club President Tim Woodham will join us. Will the Pies have a senior team this year, Brownie, please?
I think they'll get a senior team up, yeah, but just from reading some of the news during the week, I don't think it's going to be a senior reserves. I think I saw where they had something like 25 plays on the track, which is fairly precarious, though, when you talk about injuries and unavailability and things like that. One of the things I heard Damien Gill say at the outset, this is going to take good Glenorchy people to turn this club around, and they've made a great start with Tim obviously stumping up as president.
Look forward to talking to Tim Woodham later in the show. Also preview the BBL final, which is happening out in the West tonight. Talk about the Aussies in India too, Brownie, what you expect there in the Test Series coming up. We'll look at the racing too this weekend. But up next, we are talking footy with Hawthorn's Jack Scrimshaw here on the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer. It is the Water Boys, Brent Costello and Cam Brown for your Saturday morning.
We're a happy team at Hawthorn. We're the mighty fighting Hawthorn.
Our next guest was taken by the Gold Coast with pick 7 in the 2016 AFL Draft. He played 4 games for the Suns before switching to Hawthorn at the end of the 2018 season. Jack Scrimshaw has gone on to become one of the Hawks' best defenders, and he joins us on the Water Boys this morning. Thanks so much for your time, Jack, and how are you going?
Good, thank you, mate. Good. Just, back from a pre-season camp today, which we had a good 3 days out in Gippsland in Victoria, and, did a bit of training and a bit of bonding, which was nice, so it's good to be back.
Ah, fantastic stuff. Nice work. Now, as I mentioned, you've been in the AFL system now for a number of years. Do these pre-seasons get any easier for you or more difficult as they go on?
They definitely seem to get a little tougher every year. I'm going into my seventh pre-season currently, so yeah, they don't get any easier, unfortunately. They're always a grind, but enjoyable as well, especially as you know, this time of the year when we're starting to come up to games and things like that, where the real stuff sort of starts. So looking forward to that.
What about to you individually, mate? Another really consistent campaign for you last year. Do you feel like you're building each and every year and becoming a better player?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I feel like every year I've sort of played, I've continued to to grow and develop. So, yeah, I'm hitting sort of like 24 now, sort of like that peak sort of stage of my career where I feel like I can just keep, you know, continuing to take my game to another level and hopefully just maintain that consistency and, yeah, drive our team to more success.
What about the coach, mate, Sam Mitchell? It's his second season in the job. How's he compared to Alistair Clarkson since coming on board?
Oh, yeah, different. Different in a few ways. I guess just, you know, Sam being younger and not sort of long out of the game, he really has an understanding of his players and, you know, what they're thinking, and he can really connect with players on that in that regard. So, yeah, he's been really good. Like, he's been really clear with, you know, the plan that he's brought in and, you know, the direction that we want to go in. So it's really clear where we want to go.
Hawthorn defender Jack Scrimshaw is our special guest on the Water Boys this morning. Jack, no secret, you've got a really young list this year at Hawthorn. How do you expect to go in 2023?
Yeah, we're not going to sort of limit ourselves on what we can achieve. I think that, you know, we've got a lot of talent at the footy club now compared to probably previous years. So, yeah, continuing to be bringing that young talent will be a focus for us. But yeah, continuing to sort of develop these guys as well as quick as possible will hold the key to, yeah, us sort of bringing ourselves back up the ladder.
Who's someone that's sort of come on board over the summer, been drafted late last year, or even an established player, I guess, that's caught your eye over the pre-season?
Yeah, there's a few that are looking good. I'll go with Will Day. I think that he's shown glimpses of what he can do at the level. He's played predominantly halfback, but he's been training as a midfielder this preseason, and he's looking really strong and comfortable in there. Josh Ward, another one that we drafted a couple of years ago. He's coming along really well, showing his class in the midfield. So, yeah, there's definitely some promising signs, which is good.
There was some good news for your footy club this week, Jack, with an agreement locked in to have you guys here for at least the next three seasons playing four games a year at UTAS Stadium. Is it a place you love coming to play, Tasmania?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always enjoyed coming down to Tassie. It is pretty cold, but, yeah, no, the ground there is awesome, and it's good to see all the Hawks fans down there as well that come and support us. So, yeah, we feel very supportive down in Tassie and, yeah, keen to continue that partnership.
We're patiently waiting for some news on a Tasmanian AFL licence as we speak. Is that something you'd like to see, a Tasmanian team in the AFL?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, Tassie's a great sort of footy state. So, look, I think they definitely deserve a team. Yeah, when that'll come, not sure. But yeah, I think that yeah, they're definitely deserving of one.
Hawthorn's Jack Scrimshaw is our guest on the Water Boys this morning. And Jack, it's not too far away until we get to see you here in Tasmania. Thursday night, the 2nd of March at 10 past 5, Hawthorn v Collingwood at UTAS Stadium, the second of your two pre-season games. Are you looking forward to that?
Last time we played Essendon and Tassie a couple of years ago, and I think there was a packed house there. So it's always good. There'll be a lot of Collingwood supporters down in Tassie. So, yeah, another sort of good game for Tasmanian people to come watch and, yeah, enjoy some footy.
Just before we let you go, mate, what's your thoughts on the pre-season? There's always been some talk that, you know, you could actually scrap the pre-season games. Everyone's going to be on the same playing field if you do and just start from round one and have more rounds through the regular season. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you definitely sort of need at least one or two games just to sort of, you know, practice, you know, what you've been practicing all summer, really. You know, you play against each other for a little bit, but I guess it's not really tested until you play actual opposition. So, yeah, I think we definitely need probably one or two games just to, you know, blow the cobwebs out a little bit as well and yeah, sort of tighten the screws before the season starts.
Well, Jack, as I said, it's not too far away till we see you here in Tassie. Hawthorn hosting Collingwood in a pre-season clash at UTAS Stadium Thursday night, the 2nd of March at 10 past 5. It'll be a beauty, albeit as a pre-season game. Anytime you get Collingwood to the state, it's a huge contest. We really appreciate your time this morning, Jack Scrimshaw, and all the best for season 2023 with the Hawks.
No worries. Thanks for having me, mate.
There he goes, one of the young guns of the AFL, Jack Scrimshaw, joining us on the Water Boys this morning. We've got a massive show for you here in extra time in hour number two. Not too far away is Tasmania Jack Jumpers vice-captain Josh Maget. But it's been a big week for the Glenorchy Football Club. They've got a new president. His name's Tim Woodham, and he joins us next here on the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer. It is the Water Boys, Brent Costello and Cam Brown on this Saturday morning, February the 4th, 2023. Well, it's been a big couple of weeks for the Glenorchy Football Club. They had their AGM a couple of nights ago, and a new president was installed. His name is Tim Woodham, a famous name at the Glenorchy Football Club, and Tim joins us on the Water Boys this morning. How are you, mate?
G'day, Brent. G'day, Cam. How are you, mate? Yeah, how are you, boys?
We're going well. Thanks so much for jumping on. As I said, a big couple of weeks for the club, mate. We're trying to figure out if you'll have a team in the TSL this year, a senior team in the TSL. You're the man to take charge now. Is it going to happen?
Yes, Brent. It'll happen, but it's going to be a long, hard road. We've just got to still see what numbers we've got on Monday night at training. We're chasing up some other players, so we just—that's where we are at the present minute. Got to get a fair few things right off the field, and then we've got to get very, very quickly get a team on the park.
So where does it stand now, Tim? How many players have you got on the track?
25, 26. But we need to be able to make it a destination club and make people welcome and more community based. What I've found, there doesn't seem to be a lot of passion or a lot of spirit. And it doesn't seem to be a lot of confidence within the club itself, and that's what we need to rebuild, and we will rebuild it.
So at this stage, a development league team is off the table. It'll be purely a senior team in the competition?
At this stage, yeah, that's the way it's looking, but we've still got to get around that a bit further and just see where we are actually at the present minute.
And Tim, you're a proud Glenorchy person, obviously a decorated footy career yourself, and I know as a Glenorchy supporter as a kid, and you're a bench coach in some of those famous Glenorchy back-to-back premierships in the 80s. But I guess your passion to get involved again with the footy club, where did it come about from? Was it an internal thing when you saw what was happening off the field, or did some of your ex-teammates say it's going to need someone like Tim Woodham to get back on the horse and revitalise this footy club?
What happened, Cam, is about 6 weeks ago, four or five ex-players came to see me, and basically, well, we didn't really know that it wasn't going the way it should be going. But we didn't win any games last year. That's probably that we should have been looking at. But all the finances as well is not where it should be. Membership, it was down. So what we needed to do is just, we got together, we decided, and yes, I put my hand up. So that's where we are, and that's where we're going, and that's where we've got to go.
And the actual team that you put together off the field, I know you sort of stumped up what the directors would look like, and you mentioned some past players, and it'll be people like the old Cockroach, Danny Ling, Noel Mundy, Robert Postma, those sort of people. Are they going to be involved as well off the field?
Very, very much so. It'll be all of it's us and we moving forward. I can't do it by myself, and I don't ever expect to do that, but I need everyone else to help. I reckon I've probably had 50 phone calls this week with people that are offering to help. And what we need to be able to do now is harness those people, put them in the right areas as well, off the field as well, and just make everyone working in the same goal, you know, all working together. That's all we need it to be.
And Tim, obviously it's going to take a lot to get the footy club up and running, and I know Damien Gill said it's going to take people, good Glenorchy people like yourself, to be involved. But if the partnership was, thriving and going fruitfully with AFL Tasmania, what would be one of the two things that you'd be hoping that AFL Tasmania would be able to support the Glenorchy Football Club with?
My own things, Cam, I believe we need to go back to our regional footy, and what I'm talking about regional footy is our area footy. My own opinion is statewide leagues has never worked and never will work, mainly due to the travel up north. I mean, Clarence Glenorchy, Sandy Day in the olden days, Glenorchy, what we used to have the tribes, and we used to get probably half and half of the supporters of each game. If you go north now, you got no supporters for Glenorchy, not that many for Launceston or North. And what we can't breed that the rivalry that we need to build. Like, it is the tribes, it is the community. But what Glenorchy we need to do at the present moment is build this club where it accepts everyone into the community and breeds loyalty, passion, and spirit back into that area. And that by that doing that with that football club, that's going to help the community big time as well, big time.
New Glenorchy Footy Club President Tim Woodham is our guest on the Water Boys this morning. Tim, you mentioned a pretty significant debt the club's carrying at the moment. What sort of figures are we talking, and are you confident you can wipe that debt?
Yeah, the debt, what's the number? I won't say what the debt is, but the debt is manageable, and I believe we can probably have it wiped out by the end of this year, Brett. So I'm not that worried about that, Brett. We can do that part of it. We need players first. That's what we need at the present minute, and field a team where we can win a few games. And as I said, I've opened my mouth. I've got a big mouth. All I'm saying is we can win a flag in 4 years with it when we can field this side and move forward.
You mentioned about Gary Ablett potentially coming down and playing a game. Is that to attract players, or is that to get a big crowd in there to help wipe some of that debt off? What's the sort of motive behind that, getting one of the greats down here to play for Glenorchy?
First thing is it's people to get talking about Glenorchy again. That's the first thing. It also is, it's a money mate, it's if we can make some money out of it, where to pay off some of the debt and bits and pieces. That's all it's about. But also to put Glenorchy forward, and as I said, get people. We need these people to buy the memberships. It's not a lot of money. It's $65 or $100, and that's been picked up incredibly in the last few days. We still need people to buy those memberships. And as I said, accounting for every dollar, and it'll be all appropriated correctly. And that's not saying it hasn't in the past, but that's where we need people to understand. That's what we need to do, is just reduce the debt, set the club up so that it runs efficiently and smoothly, and that's all we need to do.
And where you at with the negotiations with Gary? And I think you said Gary Senior might even come down. So is that close to being finalised, or?
No, we've sent away a proposal, but we also have to sit down. Is that we've got to work out exactly where it's going to sit in relation to finances, like to outlay some money, and it's not a small amount of money. We have to outlay a small amount of money. We have to be able to sit down and see where we can make the money on the day. At the present minute, AFL will take the money, take all the gate takings and that, so we need to talk to AFL about that, and just so that set it up so it's financially viable. It will be a risk, but all I'm also saying is I believe that people will come and see a Gary Ablett.
And just before we let you go, Tim, obviously it's been a difficult couple of weeks for the footy club since the story came out, but do you think it had to happen? Because I know people have contacted me saying, you know, I knew Glenorchy was in a little bit of strop, but I didn't realise it was quite this bad as far as numbers go. So has it helped in some way that this has come to a bit of a head?
Oh, incredibly so. I mean, we've just got people back. I mean, the people there that were doing their best in doing a pretty good job, but it was just left far too few for a long period of time. Like, but when you look in from the outside, oh yeah, they're going okay. But what I'm saying is they weren't going okay. And if there is one criticism on, the people like me and like the other people, we didn't probably understand that it wasn't going okay. But also there weren't people to put their hand up. So what it needs now is we've put our hand up. People now know where we are. We've got a goal. We'll get to that goal, and that's where we're going. To improve the GDFC and to make it a powerful, respected, strong club again.
Well, mate, good luck. Obviously, a really big job ahead, but we need passionate people like yourself in these roles, and it sounds like you're really determined to get things back on the straight and narrow. So we really appreciate your time on the Water Boys this morning, and all the very best moving forward with the Magpies.
Brent and Cam, you didn't ask me where I am today.
Where are you, Tim? Bring us up to speed.
I'm in the roadworks on the Midlands Highway. I've been sitting here for 3 years. That's where I am. Well done. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Good on you, mate. We'll talk to you soon. Tim Woodham, what a superstar he is. And a big challenge ahead, as I said, Cam, but he is very, very passionate. We can hear that through his voice. And it sounds like no one better to lead Glenorchy through this challenging time they're in at the moment. Big show on the Water Boys this morning. And we've got still another superstar to join us next. Josh Bidgett, the Tasmania Jack Jumpers vice captain, isn't too far away here on the Water Boys. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer. It is the Water Boys, Brent Costello and Cam Brown for your Saturday morning. Jackies are on the mat, right in a Tassie town. Huge huge, huge weekend for the JJs. A win tonight against Illawarra in Wollongong would just about shore up fourth spot for us on the NBL ladder and secure an all-important final at home and a double chance to go with it. Perth certainly helped us last night with their 13-point loss to Cairns over there in the Wild West, but it all hinges on this game tonight, as I said, at the Wynn Entertainment Centre in Wollongong. One man that will be in the thick of the action is our point guard and co-vice-captain, Josh Maget. I caught up with him just before the team flew out to Sydney and asked him how excited he was that it all comes down to tonight.
You know, it's something we've been building towards, and to be able to clinch a top four spot is something to be really proud of, and it's a playoff game essentially for us. The last 3 weeks have felt like playoff games, but you know, especially this Saturday, it will be.
And they'll have nothing, no pressure on them, will they, the Illawarra Hawks? The shackles will be off. They can't finish any higher, they can't finish any lower, so a real danger game, I suppose.
Yeah, they're a dangerous team, especially on their home court. They'll be flying around, letting threes fly, and you know, we'll have to do a really good job to be competitive in the game, and hopefully we can come out on top at the end. But they'll be ready to go, and I know we will too.
How have you assessed the season as a whole so far?
Yeah, obviously, you know, you wish there'd be more wins on the table at the end, but you know, to have the chance to finish 16-12 is something to be really proud of, and you know, especially with how competitive this competition's been the whole season. It's like there's no check-off wins, so we've gone out and we've earned all 15 of our wins so far, and hopefully we'll earn a 16th on Saturday.
Absolutely, and you know, to do it with a relatively the same team as last year, to bring in new imports, I suppose, is always difficult, I guess, to mesh at the start of the season.
Yeah, it's part of it. Every team's gone through that. You know, it hasn't been a lot of imports stayed the same from last year, but you know, I still think back to preseason, you know, a lot of people didn't even finish top six, so for us to be in the position to have top four and have a double chance to make it into finals is a good goal for us to accomplish, and hopefully it's something we'll be able to get over the line.
Obviously got the play-ins this year for the NBL. Is that something you're a fan of? You'd know a bit more about it than us coming from the US, I suppose, but do you like that aspect of it?
Yeah, I think it's exciting for the league. Obviously, having the chance to finish fourth, you know, I wish maybe just the top four got in, but no, it'll be fun. It'll be great for the league. It'll create a lot of excitement and a lot of, you know, eyes on the league to be able to have that one game play-in. So it'll be good. You know, we're excited to be a part of it and hopefully use that as some momentum and a springboard to get into the finals.
Josh Maget's our guest on the Water Boys. Jet, we saw a couple of players nominated for awards this week. Rashad Kelly, best sixth man, and Sean McDonald, the most improved player. Pretty happy with those guys.
Yeah, thrilled. Much deserved. I think Sean, you know, if you're talking about improvement from one season to the next and what he brought for an NBL team last year and us and what he's brought this year, it's night and day. He's, you know, he's a real part of our team. He's been almost a sixth man for us too this year. And Rashard has been lights out for us, bringing, you know, a boost off the bench and now moving into the starting lineup. He's just been steady, and he's a workhorse, and he's somebody we rely on, and we'll need him down the stretch as well.
Had your parents down recently. I'm not sure if they're still here or not, but how's that been? You obviously got the new member of the family as well, so it must have been a really special time for you and the whole family.
It's been great. It's just been fun being able to show them all these places that we've told them about on FaceTime and take them out to our favorite restaurants and then show them our Tasmanian family. Meeting our real family back home has just been really special, and to be able to have them there on the last home game against Perth was a great day, and it's something we'll all remember.
And what about you, mates? Obviously, Tasmanians have fallen in love with you. You seem to have fallen in love with Tasmania. Have you thought about next season yet, or are you just solely focused on getting the job done this year?
Yeah, all that stuff will have a time and place. Yeah, obviously love Tasmania and love being part of the Jack Jumpers, and it's a place we call home. But our focus is on, you know, winning as many games as getting far into the finals as we can.
Well, mate, great to see you. Good luck against the Illawarra Hawks, and thanks for chatting to us on the Water Boys.
I appreciate you, Brent.
There he is, Josh Maget, joining us on the Water Boys. So just to clarify again, if we win tonight, in Illawarra. Jack Jumpers lock in fourth spot. If we lose, you know, I still think it's highly likely we finish fourth, but we'll have to rely on other results to go our way. And for the second year in a row, Brownie, the season will come down to the final day, and you've got some of the scenarios there. This might get a little confusing for our listeners because there's so many ways it can go tomorrow, but give it your best shot.
Tantalising doubleheader coming up on Sunday, Brent. So Melbourne United host the Adelaide 36ers, and the Wildcats host the top of the ladder Sydney Kings. So if Melbourne win and Perth loses, United will finish sixth and make the finals, which is a fair comeback from
where they were. Yeah.
If Perth win and Melbourne loses, then it'll come down to, then it will be the Wildcats who will advance in the postseason. Then you go to Adelaide, they need to beat Melbourne and they need Sydney to beat Perth later in the day to have any chance of making the finals. And if that occurs, it'll come down to percentage for Adelaide 36ers. Mm. So, I mean, the upshot of it is this is exciting that it gets down to this far, this deep in the season, the very last weekend.
Yep.
And you can have all these permutations and, yeah, the logistics of the way the ladder is going to look is, no one really knows.
Second, so, do you remember last year when we watched that final game and the Jack Jumpers were waiting to know if they were in the finals or not, and Perth's game against South East Melbourne went to overtime?
That's right.
It was extraordinary finish. So if we get anything like that tomorrow, it's going to be...
And from there, we catapulted all the way to the NBL final.
Yep, unbelievable. As I said to Jet, though, danger game tonight because Illawarra Hawks with the shackles off, can't move from bottom of the table. And they're not bad. Like, they've been playing well. They scared Cairns the other night. So it's not going to be walking the park for the JJs tonight. But they'll know that. They'll be switched on and plenty on the line, obviously, if they get the job done with a home final here at some point during the final series, which would be absolutely unbelievable. All right, that is just about it for the show this morning. But we've got a little bit to get through after the break. We've got the Good Sport Award. We've got to preview the BBL final, the Aussies coming up in India, of course, and a bit of racing too this weekend. That's all next here on the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer.
This is the Water Boys.
Thanks to Tasmac, your local Kubota dealer. It's the Water Boys, Brent Costello and Cam Brown this morning.
Who's been doing the hard yards this week? Thanks to McDonald's, it's time to announce the next winner of the Water Boys Good Sport Award.
Yeah, we do this segment thanks to our great friends at McDonald's, Macca's, Aussie Angus Deluxe. It's Aussie Az, available after 10:30 a.m. for a limited time. Our winner, Brownie, receives $100 to spend at Intersport, all for them. Great prize. Who's our winner this week, please?
Yes, our winner this week is Tom Nation, Brent. Now, Tom plays for AFL for the Sandy Bay Junior Football Club. He loves his AFL. He's also a big St Kilda fan. But he also loves his basketball, in particular the Jack Jumpers. And ironically, Josh Maget is his favourite player. So congratulations to Tom Nation, this week's winner of the AFL. No, he's not the winner of the AFL. What's he the winner of?
He's the winner of the Good Sport Award. Thanks to McDonald's and Macca's Aussie Angus Deluxe. It's Aussie Az, available after 10:30 a.m. for a limited time. And if you'd like to nominate someone for our Good Sport Award, head to the website of the station you're listening to us on right now. Look up our Water Boys page and you could nominate someone. Could be a player, a coach, a volunteer, or anyone else that's doing a wonderful job in a local sporting community. Bit to get through before we go, Brownie. BBL final tonight over in Western Australia. We've got the Perth Scorchers and the Brisbane Heat. Perth can't lose, can they? I mean, Brisbane were good the other night to beat the Sixers.
They've come from nowhere, though,
haven't they? They have. They really have. Yeah.
Looked
amazing.
Looked a pretty tough pitch to bat on. I've got to say that preliminary final, as I'd like to call it, Brent. What do they call it? They have all these strange sort of names for the BBL final.
Challenger, I think.
Challenger,
maybe.
Was it?
Yeah.
There you go. No, but having said that, I think you're right. Perth Scorchers, gee. They'd be unbelievable. Were they going for their fourth title, I reckon?
I reckon it is. It might be five.
Monopolised.
They have. They really have.
The BBL for a number of years now.
Full
outstanding
credit to
franchise.
Them, but a bit boring, isn't it, when you see them win all the time? Anyway, no, good on them. Well done. What about the Aussies in India? We're not too far away. The boys over there now, of course, and no tour games to warm up. They're just practicing themselves, and they made sure that they got the right wickets prepared that they'll be using.
Did all that
the
before
grounds.
They left, didn't they? At North Sydney Oval or something, in some of the practice matches they prepared.
Okay.
There, I believe. But that tends to be the method, the modus operandi of touring teams from Australia now. They just get over there. There's not the warm up games you used to see, particularly when we went to England.
Yeah.
We'd be over there for 6 months in the old days and play a heap of the county. So
we'll
hit the ground running. Really looking forward to that tour though, Brent.
Yeah, absolutely. A bit of racing on this weekend, which is really exciting as the summer racing carnival continues here in Tasmania. We've got the Gold Sovereign happening in Launceston tomorrow afternoon. I was out with Stuart Gandy at Brighton a couple of days ago with his horse Need Sugar, which will go pretty well, I reckon. That's my tip to win that one tomorrow. Brownie had a really good win in the Elwick Stakes last weekend or whenever it was, and I think that'll be really tough to beat. Cairns, another horse that should do pretty well. The Spirit of Zero, another one from Nishitani as well, who is training that one. So we'll see what happens, but I really love the Summer Racing Carnival. And Hobart Cup, not too far away either, which is exciting.
You got a tip already for the Hobart Cup?
No, right? No, we'll go through that next. I want to do the Phantom Call again. Remember, we did
that
the Phantom
was,
Call.
That was huge. And high success rate in picking the winner too, the Phantom Corey, and you're around about 80%.
Yeah, I reckon I would be pretty close to 80%. I haven't
so
done
if you like
badly
a flutter, listen in to Brent Costello's Phantom Call.
Absolutely. Now, I want to give a shout-out to Gymnastics Tasmania. I'm hosting their 50-year celebration tonight, which will be good down at Rest Point. So just wanted to give a shout-out to Gymnastics because they don't get the coverage they deserve. And a rich history here in Tasmania. So we're under them. It should be a good night tonight down at the centre.
I reckon. And you've got a background in gymnastics yourself too, Brent.
I did King to Gym. Yeah, I did do King to Gym when I was young. It was good fun, actually, old King to Gym. But, yeah, that's where it stopped for me. Actually, I did a bit of trampolining at high school too, in PE.
What was your best apparatus in gymnastics, Brent? Pommel horse or something? The rings?
I was pretty good on the balance. What's the beam? The beam. Well, yeah. It's pretty good on the beam, yes. Probably to scratch up on my gymnastics knowledge before.
And rhythmic gymnastics came in after you too, didn't it?
Yeah,
so
probably.
You would have, imagine combining that too.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, well done. Flair on the floor.
A great thing to have gymnastics around for 50 years here
terrific.
In Tasmania. What's on for your weekend? You're off to the funeral this morning for John Devine, which will be a great celebration, I would have thought, of a wonderful life.
Yes, and obviously not too much planned, I don't think, Brent. Might watch the Big Bash final over the weekend too, I would have thought.
Mm-hmm. That's tonight, Brent.
Don't tune in tomorrow. Jack Jumpers too. We've got to make sure that...
Yes. And to lock that one away, and then we'll see what happens moving forward. So big weekend of sport ahead. Hope you enjoyed the show this morning, and I'll be back next Saturday with the big sheephead. He'll be back in next week.
He'll be
won't
back.
He'll be Blairy Brownless. So that's next Saturday morning. Hope you can join us then. Have a great weekend, everyone.